Well, how about this side of the building? How about this place? Man, God has blessed our church. It's just a complete miracle how God provided this place for us, and we are so thankful for it. My wife and I just got back from a vacation in Florida, and it was amazing. And so Roger Graber kicked off this series last week. Under the Rug did a great job, talked about moving from apathy to, hey, Josh, to some action. Oh, for those of you who are guests, by the way, my name is Lance Birch. I'm one of the pastors here at Reality Church, and this isn't the way we normally do things. I mean, you came in, and you're like, I don't have a chair, and they do church in the dirt, and this is weird. This is not a normal thing for us, but we wanted to celebrate how God has given us this entire building. He's made a way for us to expand into this part of the building. And guys, Reality Church, this whole place, besides a little section for coffee, is going to be all for children's ministry. Isn't that amazing? We've looked at, you know, what's going on with our church, and man, the choke point for our church right now is actually the fact that we don't have adequate children's space. So this is, I believe, God's vision for our church, and so it's incredibly exciting what's going on here. I'll go back to what I was saying earlier. I just got back from vacation. We were in Florida for a while with all five girls, and it was a blast. And while I was there, something happened that kind of gave me, I told Amy, please make me remember this because it feeds into the sermon. We were in line at some of those incredible shows at Universal Studios. We were down in Orlando. We took a little day trip down to Orlando and went to Universal. And we were in a long line for Transformers, which was a ride there at Universal, kind of a cool ride. And we were standing there and the line was not moving. And then it continued to not move. And so we were just standing there, and we've been riding a lot of rides. It's been a fun day. Pretty soon, people are just getting ticked off, and people are leaving. And then one family in particular, about maybe 30 minutes into this thing, comes past me, and I said, well, is there any movement up there? He says, no, the ride's broken down. They're shutting it down for the day. And he walks past me, and I'm like, oh, they're shutting it down for the day. So Amy and I and the kids, we get out of the line, and we are walking out, and there's a person on the phone who actually works at the park who is saying, okay, so they're starting it up? Okay, great, and hangs up the phone. And Amy turns to me and says, let's get back in line. It's like, there's nobody there anymore. So we got back in line, and sure enough, they started it up. Now, here's the point of that whole thing, and we got to ride it. Thank you, Diane. Diane Grapes was so excited that I got to ride the ride that she's clapping for that. And it was great. Thank you very much. The point of that whole story is when you don't have the information, when we don't have the information, we have a tendency to make up the information off the top of our head. This guy had convinced a few people they are shutting it down for the rest of the day. Now, as I considered what he said, who did he talk to get this information from? Who in the world did he interview somebody? No, he's just standing in line, and in his head, he just thought, I know what's going on. Now, how many times in your life have you been guilty of doing the same thing? Where you just go, oh, I'm looking at the situation. I know what's going on here. Of course, this is what's going on. And it's a very dangerous position to be in when you think you know what's happening. Amy and I were interviewing for a church last week. No, that is not true. This was years ago. Amy and I were interviewing for a church in Dallas years ago, and Hannah was a little girl, and we brought her along on one of these interview things. And Hannah, I did not ask your permission for this, but I've told this story in public many times, so you know what's coming. I'm interviewing, I'm sitting down there with the board, and they're interviewing me and to be a new youth pastor at their church. And Hannah is there, so they bring Hannah back to the back so she can watch movies. And so the pastor's wife is walking with Hannah back to the back of the house so Hannah won't be bored. And Hannah looks up at her and says, sometimes my dad lets me watch bad movies. Awesome. That's awesome. So the pastor's wife says, oh, really? Like, what sort of bad movies? And Hannah looks up with big eyes and says, Star Wars. So, listen, when you don't have the information and you fill in the blanks with what you think is about to happen next, it's bad news. And that's where we get gossip from. Did you guys know that gossip is a $3 billion a year industry in our country? $3 billion is spent or invested into finding out what's going on with people that we don't know what's going on with them. Celebrities, other people. You know, you've got E.T. When I was growing up, there was Entertainment Tonight with that nice guy, John Tesh. But now it's gotten really, really bad. Like, there's still E.T. There's Access Hollywood. There's Radar Online. There's TMZ, which basically digs up all the dirt that they can find on anybody. Whether it's true or not, if it's a rumor, it's worth it. They go investigate it, and they talk about it. News that travels at the speed of boredom is what it is. It's just that the more bored I get, the faster that sort of gossip travels. I don't know if you guys are looking for employment, but there was a story going out on social media this past week that New Zealand is going to pay $165,000 to relocate you to New Zealand to work there, right? Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool, except it's not true. New Zealand said today, this morning, no, we're not. That's ridiculous. So if you pass that on, it's kind of funny how fast those things go. And before you know it, it's out of your control. We all know, hopefully, that when I say gossip is wrong, that I'm right. We all believe that gossip is a wrong thing to do, and we all wish all of those gossipers out there would stop it. Because here's what we know about gossip. If you hang out with somebody and they gossip to other people, to you, they gossip about other people to you, then when you're not with them, what are they going to do? They're going to gossip about you. If you leave the room, that's why in certain conversations, you feel uncomfortable even to leave. Because you know as soon as you leave, the conversation is going to turn towards you. So here's the definition of gossip. It's not the only definition. There's plenty of them. Rick Warren has a great definition, which is if you're talking to someone about a situation and they are neither part of the problem or part of the solution, you're probably gossiping. But here's the one that I'm working with today. Gossip, sharing information which damages another person's reputation to those who have no need to know. Damaging another person's reputation, saying something that damages their reputation to someone who has absolutely no need to know it. Here's the thing that's true about us. We all want gossiping to stop, but no one wants to stop gossiping. It's our language. It's our social networking language. We don't even know when we go from normal conversation into something that's pretty damaging. Most people don't even know. My theory is this. Most people don't even know that they are gossiping. Most people don't even know that they are a gossip. This is just a really authentic story. Is that okay if I share a really authentic pastoral story? Something that happened to me that really made me crazy. And it was about 2 years ago or something. A story started, I don't know how, that here at Reality Church, that we were disbanding our elders. We just weren't going to have them anymore. I don't know why, but we're not going to have them anymore. And I got wind of it, and somebody asked an elder, is this going on? And I'm like, no, that's not going on. But how in the world did that start? And here's what I found out. It started as a prayer request, which is, by the way, how a lot of rumors get started. Prayer request. I think we need to pray because they're disbanding their elders. And so here's what I tried to do. This is really authentic. I found out a source for the thing, and I messaged them because I didn't know their phone number. I messaged them and I said, hey, I just wanted you to know that we're never going to disband our elders because that's biblical and we're never going to do something that goes against the Bible, so we're going to go ahead and stick with the elders. And they said, why are you randomly emailing me about this? And I didn't say, I'm messaging you on Facebook. I'm not emailing you, but that's cool. And I said, well, it's really not random. I mean, there was a prayer request shared. You were the one that shared it. And they said, well, I was not the source of this information. It just went on and on and on. And finally, it got to the point where I said, well, these two people shared it with an elder and they shared it with me. Were you the source of that information? And then the person on the other end said, yes, I was. But that isn't gossip, right? If I wasn't the original source, this is the way people think. If I wasn't the original source, if I didn't make up the story, if I just simply passed it on, then I didn't gossip. That's why I believe that most people in this room and myself, and I'll tell you how I do it, and I'll tell you my gossip strategy in just a second because I'm not innocent in this. But I think that most people don't know that they're gossiping. And I've got grace for everybody. I mean, we need to, please, let's make this a grace zone because all of us are guilty of this, every single one of us. And I want us to somehow get to a better way of communicating because as much as we want to wink at this and as much as we make it, you know, something that's kind of funny or something that's kind of humorous or maybe even something that's a little religious, here's how I gossip. I'll tell you this. If somebody asks me about somebody, I will do a gossip sandwich, okay? I'll start out positive. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, I love that guy. Super cool family. You know, I really don't like it when he blah, blah, fill in the blank. And then I'll finish it off with, but they're a great guy. So it's a gossip sandwich. It doesn't make it any better, but it makes me feel better about me, right? So maybe you've probably got your own gossip strategy. So as much as we want to trivialize it, wink at it, sweep it under the rug like we're doing with this series, these are sins that we're talking about that we don't acknowledge. Or if we do acknowledge them, we pretty much go, it's not any big deal, just sweep it under the rug. We won't think about it that much. But let's ask ourselves a question. What's that squealing? Let's ask ourselves another question. How does God feel about gossip? How do you think God in heaven, when he sees his kids talking about other people, how do you think God feels about it? Because the Bible actually says how he feels about it. The Bible teaches us throughout the Bible that gossip is a very, very serious sin. Romans 1:28, I'm just going to read it to you. You can pull it up on a device, Romans 1:28. Romans 1, by the way, is about some pretty serious sin, but I'm going to be reading 28 and 29. Since they, and that's talking about people like you and me, since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that they should never do. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. By the way, later on in that verse, he said they were God haters. So think about the list that gossip just went in with. Murder, greed, malicious behavior, gossip. So that stuff, that $3 billion industry, the thing that we kind of laugh at, that we wink at, that we giggle at, and we always want it. I mean, I've actually heard conversations begin with, give me the dirt. What's the dirt? That's why I'm glad we're doing church in the dirt today, because this goes so well with it. Donna Gay gave me a dessert earlier, and it was, what was it called, Donna? Dirt cake. So I'm celebrating church in the dirt today by eating dirt cake later. But give me the dirt. Tell me what's going on with people around me. If you go to Starbucks or you hang around a car repair shop, either one, people are going to be talked about. Now, why is that? Why do we do it? If God hates it so much, why is it something that we just make a part of our life? I don't know if you guys know this. Probably not. I did not know this. The word, the Old Testament word for gossip, one of them is the exact same word used for the devil himself, Satan, the accuser. So to gossip is, in some ways, this is how serious it is. To gossip in some ways is to align yourself with the enemy, to align yourself with Satan himself. Ray Ortlund puts it this way, gossip is our dark moral fervor, eagerly seeking gratification. Gossip makes us feel important. and needed as we declare our judgments on other people. It makes us feel included to know the inside scoop. It makes us feel powerful to cut someone else down to size, especially someone we might be a little bit jealous of. It makes us feel righteous, even responsible, to pronounce someone else guilty. Gossip can feel good in multiple ways. In fact, Proverbs 18:8 says, rumors are like dainty morsels that sink down deep into one's heart. They're like something like, oh my goodness, that tastes good for some reason. It feels good to hear a secret about somebody else because it reassures us that we're not as bad as maybe we thought we were. It feels good. The Bible says that it goes down good when you hear gossip about somebody else. So tasty. Why? Because it makes us feel superior to people. It makes us feel like our lives are somehow better by comparison with those people. It's a window into your life, your inner life, into my inner life. Everybody in this room wants to feel okay, like we're doing okay. And so when we can hear that somebody else is struggling, we're like, well, I'm not doing that bad. And so it goes down like a tasty morsel, our hunger to feel okay. And when we put the religious veneer on it, when it becomes a prayer request or a discussion at life group, then it can be even more destructive. James 1:26 says, if your religion, if you claim to be religious but you don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Guys, we tell people at our church, at Reality Church, listen, we have this environment to focus on God, but we've got another environment that we really want to challenge you to get involved in, to risk relationships with other people, to really take that risk. Now, guys, if we're going to tell people to be authentic in life groups, we've got to get an A+ on this sermon. As a church, we've got to create spaces where it's really genuinely safe to be who I am. I can't worry or wonder about, is this going to be talked about somewhere else? And that's what we've got. I have a life group where I can sit and I can talk to them and tell them what's really going on in my heart. And I don't have to worry about it being on social media the next day or tweeted out somehow. But if we're going to tell people, risk authentic relationships with others, then we had better create a safe environment to do it. And your life group, it had better be one. Because Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power to bring life or death, and those who love to talk reap the consequences. You know, if you talk all the time, if you're just chattering all the time, eventually it's going to come back around. You're going to say something you regret. If you talk all the time, then you're probably apologizing a lot, or else you're just ticking people off. If you talk all the time, you're going to reap the consequences. Here's something that I need to learn. You don't have to say everything you think. Did you guys know that? You really don't. This might be mind-blowing for some of you in this room. You genuinely don't have to say everything you think. And here's another truth that might blow you away. Everything you say that you say should be true, but everything that's true doesn't necessarily need to be said. You need to say things that are true. You know, everything you say should be true, but not every single thing that's true needs to be said. Is it helpful or is it destructive? And this is the difference between how God wants us to talk and what gossip does. Gossip destroys. You can wink at it all you want, we can giggle at it all you want, but gossip destroys people. It tears them down. If you can't be quiet, and that's what I would say first of all, if you be quiet, just don't say anything. But if you can't be quiet, if you've been offended by somebody, then follow the advice of Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary to India. And she says, she has this phrase, and you might want to write it down or try to remember it. When she was offended by someone, her phrase, and even in her organization, her phrase would be, never about, always to. I'm not going to talk about this person. I'm going to talk to them. Now, we know that that takes a lot of courage. If you've been hurt by somebody, or if you're worried about somebody, It's much easier to sit down with your buds or sit down with your girlfriends and talk it out with them. It takes a whole lot more, it takes a whole lot more courage and conviction to go and talk to them. But Amy Carmichael says, never about, I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to fill up the air with your story. I'm not going to confess your sin to other people. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk to you. So never about, always to. If you and I are struggling with this, and I think most of us are, and we don't talk about it very much, then I think it's like an indicator. If you struggle with gossip, if I struggle with gossip, it's an indicator on the dashboard of your spiritual life that you're running low. What are you running low on? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, you're running low on love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. You're running low on the stuff that happens when you're connected with Jesus. Because here's what I'm not trying to tell you to do today. I'm not trying to tell you, do better. Don't gossip. Try harder. Because I honestly think, and James teaches in his book of the Bible, that it's impossible for you to do this without God's help. So instead of me telling you, stop gossiping, we're going to try to replace gossip with something else. Maybe something that God actually wants you to do, to use your words in a way that builds people up instead of destroys them. Because all that stuff on your spiritual dashboard that you're running low on, you're kind of pegging it, you're on E, on love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Those are only the things, I mean, those are things that you can only get from God. He's the source for those things. You can't work that up on your own. And if you're running low, and your gossip is an indication that you are, because you're looking for fulfillment from what other people think about you, that feeling of power of having the inside scoop, you're running low. But the only source for that is God himself. So, like John 15 says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. If you abide in me, you know, you'll bear much fruit, good fruit, fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You're going to encourage people. But when you're running low, you can't work that up on your own. You're just going to become someone who has to have the scoop, someone who has the dirt on somebody. So let's replace gossip. Let's try this. And I'm actually going to give you a practical way to do it. So let's try this for this next week, okay? Let's replace our gossip with encouragement. Let's replace that pattern of talk, and it's not going to be easy, but let's replace it with its archenemy, encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up. Now that's the contrast to gossip, which is tearing down. You know, but it's true, Lance. It isn't gossip if it's true. You remember that song that Leslie sang? Did a great job on it. But that's not even true, is it? It's still gossip, even if it's true. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling what they did. I'm just concerned about them. No. Encourage each other and build each other up. If you're talking about someone, make sure that the tone of your conversation and the words in your conversation are intended to heal rather than destroy. And guys, that can sometimes be sharing a negative thing about somebody if you're intending to heal them. If you're in an organization and I'm in a meeting and I have to share that this is something negative, but here's how we're going to deal with it, that means that I'm talking, but I'm talking as a part of the problem or part of the solution, and we can deal with it. But if you're out here just spreading negative stuff, that's destructive, and it's something that God hates. So encourage each other and build each other up, even when you're sharing a hard truth or a negative thing that possibly might hurt a little bit. Let your words, instead of being a dagger that draws blood, be a scalpel that brings healing, and really, with love and concern, share these things. So 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let's think of ways. And here's why I think the Bible says, let's think of ways. Because actually, if you're going to try to go from negative to positive, it's a creative work. You're actually going to have to work at this. You're going to have to figure out a new way of talking. Because our patterns get so ingrained in the way we talk, and we just fall into this sort of pattern with certain people. And you know who your gossip people are. You fall into that pattern with them. Think of ways to turn that into something that encourages people. It's going to be a work, a creative work on your own. You're going to have to figure out. It actually takes some creativity. Like learning a new language, it's going to feel awkward at first. People are actually going to say, who are you? I mean, we always used to sit down here. We always used to have these gripe sessions. We always used to talk about other people. Now you're all of a sudden, you know, Pollyanna. You're positive Nancy. We don't like this. Positive Nancy. I wish I would have. Why not Patty or something? It's negative Nancy. Anyway, well, we'll fix that next service. Dang it. It will be tough at first. But guys, remember, God hates gossip. Why does he hate gossip? It hurts his bride, the church. It hurts the person who's gossiping. It hurts the person who hears the gossip. It hurts the person who's gossiped about. That's four reasons. And it disparages God's creation. You realize that every single person you've ever talked about is a child, is a creation of God himself. You don't go up to a dad and start talking negatively about their kids. Or not if you're smart, you don't. Unless you're a, you know, first-year teacher. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Was that destructive or encouraging? I don't know. Ephesians 4:29 says it this way. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let your words be an encouragement. Man, I have struggled with this in my life because my father and I grew up. I'm my dad's son, and he and I would spar all the time. He would say something negative, I'd say something negative back, and I sharpened my wit at the feet of my father, who was the king of sarcasm. And one day, I've told you this story before, but I used my words to cut people down. That's what I did. And one day I was driving down the road, and I don't get too many verbal, audible messages from God. This wasn't really audible, but it was so big that I out loud responded to it. I got this impression from God. He said, Lance, you're really, really witty. You've got a great wit. And I felt affirmed by God. I was just like, thank you, God, for noticing I am very witty. And he said, clear as day, Lance, when are you going to stop using your wit to cut people down and start using it to build people up? And I pulled over at that point. I mean, I was undone. And I thought, God, help me. I mean, you've given me a gift of language. Why can't I use that language to build people up? Why do I constantly take the easier road of just saying something snarky? Why can't I change that pattern? So here's what I want us to do. I want us to try this for a week, okay? Are you with me? For a week, all right? So hashtag it, do something with it. Do this for a week. I want you, for 1 week, to become gossip intolerant, okay? That means treating it like gluten for some of you, okay? I want not just become gossip intolerant. I want you to replace it with encouragement. I want you to have gossip-free conversations like some people have gluten-free desserts, except these conversations will taste way better than those desserts. The only difference... So I want you to... And I'm serious. I mean, because if you talk to someone who's gluten-free, they're not kind of gluten-free, are they? They're not like, yeah, but I'm going to have a little bit of it, you know. They're like, no, if any of it, it just messes up the system. And I'm telling you, the reason I chose gluten here is because gossip messes up the system. That's what it does. Even a little bit of it will mess it up. So become gossip intolerant for 1 week. Number two, tell your gossip buddies that you've discovered that you are gossip intolerant, okay? They've got to respect that. I've recently had a visit with a professional. I'm gossip intolerant, and you guys better respect that. Gossip is never done solo, so you've got people that you fall into this with. It's never done solo. So you're going to need their support. Now, here's something to do if they don't support you. If they say, okay, that's cool, you're going to do that, but we're going to continue doing what we normally do. then just stick with them. And as soon as they start talking about somebody, say, guys, that's right. Let's pray. Let's pray about that. And then hold hands and start praying. Every single time they bring up somebody, you say, yes, that, you know what? Let's pray about that. And start praying. Pretty soon, it'll end. So the next thing I've noticed about gluten-free people is they're not just simply gluten-free, they're gluten-free evangelists. And I love that. I mean, that's great because they found something that works for them. So cool. Let's be gossip-free evangelists. So number one, become gossip intolerant. Number two, tell your gossip buddies that you've discovered that you're gossip intolerant. It doesn't fit well in your system. And number three, become a gossip-free evangelist. Take a week. Will you take a week with me? Because I'm going to do this, and if you're really clever, make up a hashtag, and I'll support that too. Take a week and just ask God to replace your gossip with encouragement. A way for you to say, look, I'm not just going to create a vacuum here. I'm not just going to stop doing something. I'm actually going to start doing something. I'm going to build people up because our church depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. Your friendships depend on it. Gossip is a tool of the enemy, and it's not something to be swept under the rug. It is destructive. It tears apart churches. It tears apart businesses. It tears apart marriages. It tears apart relationships. It's never cute. It's never funny. It hurts the one who's sharing it. It hurts the one who's listening to it. It hurts the one who's being talked about, and it hurts the church. And by the way, whatever you've said negative about somebody else, you've done. You've thought. You could be there in an instant. It could be your story. Do you want that story shared? Or do you want somebody on your team putting their arm around you, encouraging you, building you up? How many of us need encouragement? How many of us from day to day need to know you've got what it takes? You can make it. I'm praying for you. The best sort of encouragement that I ever hear is when somebody's been talking, you know that word, talking behind my back about me in a positive way. When somebody says, did you hear what they said about you? And then they tell me, and it's something encouraging, something good. So change this, not in your own power. The way you can do this is you've got to connect up with Christ and say, okay, Jesus, you want me to be an encourager, I'm going to need your help because that's not my native language. Okay, Jesus, you want me to switch from gossip to building people up. That's not my native language. It's yours, though. Can you teach me a new language? I want to learn that because I want, as a believer in this world, to bring the reality of encouragement into a world that's under the deception of gossip. I want to change things. I want to live differently than the people around me. I want to have something new to add to the conversation rather than the same thing that's getting lapped up by everybody in our nation. How would your life be different next week? How would your life be different if you walked away from gossip and verbal defamation? How would your life be different? Guys, let's let today be the day that we stop sweeping this under the rug and we actually pull up that rug and go, that's ugly, and I want to get rid of it. What would your life be like? How would it change, by the way, our community? If just this group of people right here decided, you know what, I'm going to build people up. What would it change in our community? I'm going to stop doing that behind their back, snide remarks, snarky stuff, and I'm going to build people up. Even people that tick me off, even people that are off there doing horrible stuff, I'm going to build them up. I'm going to encourage them. How would that change our community if just this group right here did that? How would it change your family? Imagine that. If everybody in your family built each other up, used their words to encourage, let today be the day. Speak only the good you know about other people and encourage other people to do the same. How would that change your life? Guys, I'm looking forward to this week for me. I hope that you are for you. And I know that the people around me, I know that the people that work with me, that live around me, would really look forward to the day that that they could be safe, right? That they could be safe and say, you know what? I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to speak it in order to fit in here. This is a place of encouragement. It's a place of building people up and not tearing people down. Are you guys with me for 1 week? For 1 week. Now, if at the end of that week you say, well, that's garbage, I didn't have any fun, try it for one more week. Guys, I'm really, for me, personally, I want to pray for us so that this could be something for real. Not just a sermon that we heard, but something that's life-changing, because believers do this and we do it on a regular basis. So I'm going to ask you something. If you're with me for a week, okay, you clapped, then I want you to bow with me and let's pray and let's ask God's kind of blessing over this whole idea.